Well, here we are again, everyone, on side two of the tape. I do hope that all your tapes have taken it, as I am aware that I have rather squash bins on the end of it. But if any of you have missed little bits and pieces, please send your tape back to me and I shall see what I can do. However, to press on, I'd like to review a programme which a good friend of ours has made for me and which I'm sure will prove useful to some of you as well. For those of you who are interested in databases, I'm going to tell you about a custom-made one which some of you may find very useful, and it is public domain. This is called FasterTape Database. Now, some of you will remember Michael Cassidy talking about Interbase, which is a very good database but quite expensive. I think it's about £80-90 now, and this is 64K on a double chip which fits into your machine. It's not the ordinary sort of chip you can deal with through an EEPROM or anything like that. However, this database has been made by our friend John Tulliver, G6JPG, and it is quite a useful program, simple program, easy to use and learn. It is in fact disk-based, so that you can put as many entries as you like, although the more entries you put, the longer you have to wait to either find entries or add entries. No doubt a lot of you will have cassettes, although some of you will still have OpenReel as we do, and there are four types of entry: of entry, tape number, track or side number, name of artist and name of piece. Some of you no doubt will have Braille catalogues full of records, either folk music, country music, pop music, whatever, and it can take quite a while to go through these, so it is very useful to have it on disk. It takes a bit of time typing it in, but once it is in, it is very easy to search for a particular piece, or if you're not sure whether you've got a particular piece, you can enter it in this program and it will see if you have actually got it. However, I'm going to demonstrate this program to you now, so we will go over to the computer and see what we find. Right, this file is called tapedat, T-A-P-E-D-A-T, so we shall chain it. Tapedat, load it in.
FasterTape database, data file should be left out disk.
Now there it says FasterTape database, data file should be last on disk, file name. Now all that means is that the file you put the data in is on the disk, must be the last one, otherwise it will tend to overwrite or error the next file. There's only one file on this, with quite a few entries actually, and it's called records, R-E-C-O-R-D-S. So here we go.
Records. I don't think records was created by this program, but I apostrophe LL try it anyway, type and for menu, command.
Well, that's just a funny thing, it says that every time. I'll try it anyway, but you know it's loaded in by the sound of it. And if it wasn't the right file name, it would tell you that it doesn't exist. So a little fault there, but however. M for menu, so we should press that and see what it has to say for itself.
For menu options, A, add entry, B, delete entry, C, change, F, find, S, squeeze a file, N, next entry, D, previous entry, R, review this entry, Q, quit program, D, stop void exclamations, L, spelling your 4-4 artist and tune, or and repeat this and explain this command.
Yes, all that means is A, add an entry, D, delete an entry, F find an entry, S squeeze file, and if there are spaces in it, I think it squeezes it closed and things like that. If you have deleted an entry, etc. You have T, which stops long explanations, but we won't do that yet. We have L, which puts on the spelling flag if you have the mimic, or puts it off, as it should do in this case. So we'll press L in any case.
Order spell flag command.
And it says command after all that, which just means what command you want would have a question mark after it. Haven't got the punctuation on at the moment, although you can do that. There are other things. You have P for previous entry if you want to look at the previous one, and for next entry, which looks at the next one, and R, which just means review entry. So if you're not sure what it is, you just press R. First of all, we shall add an entry, so we'll press A. Do you really wish to add an entry? So press Y.
Entry 264 tape.
Tape, so that's tape 3 we're on.
3,
track. Return, track 1.
Right. Artist.
Artist. And we'll have Eddie Cochran.
Eddie
Cochran.
Ushering piece.
Piece, that's a piece he's doing. 3 steps to
three
heaven.
Steps to present unknown.
We'll have change, I think, because I had it before actually, so I did that deliberately. I'll press C.
Change. Do you really wish to change?
Why?
Entry 263, tape 3, change.
Tape 3, change, no.
Track 1, change.
Track 1, change, no.
Artist, Eddie Cochran, change.
Eddie Cochran, change, yes.
Artist.
So, artist is Swaddy Waddy.
Shaddy Waddy, please, 3 steps to heaven, change.
No, actually I missed the W out, but never mind. So.
Next. To near file end, unknown.
Press N, which means next, to near to file end. So we'll go previous entry, see what that is.
Previous entry, entry 262 tape, 3 track, my artist, Josh McRaffy's missing cable out on the river, unknown.
So that was tape 3, track 1, artist Josh McRae, piece messing about on the river. We'll go to the next one. Review it, so I'll show you it again.
Review, entry 262 tape, 3 track, my artist, Josh McRaffy's missing cable out on the river, unknown.
What was the next one? I've forgotten.
Next, entry 263 tape, 3 track, my artist, Chaddy Waddy, please, 3 steps to heaven, unknown.
Oh, we'll get rid of that. I don't think I want that, actually. So we'll press D.
New entry 263 tape, 3 track, my artist, Chaddy Waddy, please, 3 steps to heaven, sure you want this deleted.
There's kill entry, and it gives you the entry, Swaddy Waddy, 3 steps to heaven. Sure you want this deleted? Why?
Unknown.
So, that is that. So, what we shall do now is do a find. If you've got a lot of songs or pieces on, as it were, and then they've got 3 7-inch tape fulls, 4 tracks. So it does take quite a while to get through. I'll show you the find facility. So we shall have F.
Find. Want to search by tape.
Want to search by tape? No.
Search by track.
Search by track?
Search
no.
Search by artist.
Search by artist? No.
Search by piece.
Search by piece? Why? Well, you can just write grass or anything within that piece and it'll find it. So I'll do grass. T-R-A-S. Return.
Grass.
So now searching through the little disc catalogue there, and you can hear the thing pipping away. If you don't have it pipping away, you don't know what's happening. If you like a bit of programming and so forth, you can actually find the sound command, which does that, and make a different pitch or loudness, whichever you wish to do. It does do it quite well, actually. A little bit slow. The interbase is in
fact. Tom Jones, please, copying, green, green, dress of home, another search,
the green grass at home, but Interbase I think does actually go faster. I haven't actually got into mine yet. We'll have another search, so we'll press Y. And it's going through once again, looking at the disk to see what is coming up. And it should be right near the end of this little lot in any case. I know it is there. So it will actually find it. And then I'll show you what the spare flag actually does. And it's pipping away, should find it any moment now.
Of course you could change the keywords like tape and track to cassette and side.
Of course on the tapes and tracks it would go very fast, but of course mostly it's ones, twos and threes or whatever. So of course you wouldn't get much wear with that.
Should be getting there any minute. There are about 260 odd entries, remember, whereas on a C90 you'd get much less.
Entry 260 tape, three track, by artist, Tony Lyon, Sir Douglas Telties, Whispering Grass, a Nutter Search.
Yes, well of course that was Tony Windsor and Donna Strell, Whispering Grass. What will happen if we press Y for another search?
Error, I will restart, it was the of faster tape database, data file should be rest on disk, file name.
In fact, it should say file end, and so we have to start again. It sometimes does that. I've forgotten Q, which in fact stops the program properly, but if you press break or escape, it doesn't really do it much good. So I'll start it off again, record. And I have squeezed it. We'll find something right near the beginning, so press F.
Find, search by tape, track, artist, or piece, or any combination. Also, if searched by artist or piece, need to give fully right to search by tape.
Well, all it's saying there is giving a long explanation, which is telling you about the combinations, and you don't have to have the whole lot. So we won't search by tape.
Search by track.
Nor by track.
Search by artist.
We'll search by artist.
Artist.
I'll just put SHAD. Shad shadows.
Shad search by piece.
Search by piece, no.
Entry to tape, by track, by artist, SHABOWS, piece, ADLAADIS, another search.
Well, I'll say no, not
allowed
now, but you see, we had the spell flag, we haven't pressed L. So we'll press L.
Alter spell flag, allowed.
Alter spell flag command, and we'll review that again.
Review of current entry. Entry to tape, by track, by artist, shadows, piece, Atlantis, allowed.
So that was entry 2, tape 1, track 1, very near the beginning there. We'll see what the next one is. Press N.
Next, entry 3, tape, by track, by artist, RHJN, piece, football, crazy, allowed.
Oh, I put RHJM, Robin Hall and Jimmy McGregor, football, crazy. Anyway, what we shall do now is see how many songs we have with Dream in D-R-E-A-M. So we'll press F for find.
Find, right to search by tape.
No.
Search by track.
No.
Search by artist.
No.
Search by piece.
Yes.
Piece.
Well, we'll put Dream, D-R, oops, just a long letter.
Dream.
Dream. Now it's going to carry on pipping for a while, and it looks for any title with the word dream in, as you can hear at the present moment. But it will get there, and it will be interesting to see how many songs we do have with the actual word dream in it. Because sometimes you get these programs of songs about certain subjects, don't you, on the radio. And this sort of thing could well be useful at times, especially if you're going to do that sort of thing, although I shouldn't think very many of you will be doing
that sort of thing. However, there should be a title coming up any moment now. So it's pipping away, as you hear.
Entry Y6, Y8, 2 track, Y-artist, Buzzing, Spoon for Peace, Plot 8A4, 8A3, Bay Measure Search.
Yes, well, you saw how long that took. Loving Spoonful, What a Day for a Daydream. We'll have another search. Why? And I think there's one coming up pretty quickly, so that should be okay.
I think this one is a little further than I thought.
8 3 1 9 8 tape, 2 track, 3 artist, Joker, please, any dream will do. Close every door, a letter search.
Yeah, that was Joe Curry. We'll press Y again.
And those songs you heard there were 2 titles.
3208 tape, 2 track, 3 artist, Bye-bye, Darren, please, Dream Lover, a letter search.
Well, tape 2 track 3, Bobby Darin, Dream Lover, another search. Press Y. And it's going on there very nicely.
Entry 222 tape, 2 track, 3 artist, Nina X, please, Dream A Little, Dream of Me, a letter search.
And that was Mama Cat's Dream, Little Dream of Me. Yes, another search. I think there might be one more. We'll just have to wait and see. Not sure where we will actually end right, but we shall see what happens when it gets to the end here.
Error, I will restart. It faster tape, database, data file should be rest on disk, file name.
Well, I shan't go through all that again, but the reason it's doing that is that I've forgotten to squeeze it. What? So I'm going to show you what happens when I do S for squeeze.
Squeeze the new file name.
And it gets rid of all the deleted ones, so what shall we have for new file name? Rex, R-E-C-S.
RBCS. Applying entry 0 2 0 Y 2 Y 2 2 2 3 2 3 4 2 4 5 2 5 6 2 6 7 2 7.
Yes, and there it is, doing all the lock there. It gives a load of numbers. It takes about a minute to do this, and you can hear it copying to the new file at the same time, which is okay, and by which time it should get rid of all the deleted bits and pieces, which we need to see.
Well, of course it was just going to go up and up in numbers and it would bore you. So now that we have copied the whole file and got rid of gaps in it into another file called Rex, I'll show you how it ends properly.
So then find a search again, and we're near the end, searching for grass again. Another search, we'll see if it does the right thing this time.
File end.
Command. So that's good, it's done it this time. So if it says funny things like error, I will start again, etc., you know that you need to squeeze the file of any deletions and then put it back to where it was. So it is rather useful program that. If any of you would like the program, please send me a 5¼-inch disc or cassette if you wish, and I shall put it on for you. It is public domain, so therefore it is free.
And if any of you are interested, we shall give you our address and phone number at the end of this edition of Computer Talk. And I'm sure that you will find this a rather useful database. Well, you may be rather interested to know that our friend who wrote the program is staying with us just at this present time. He is living at the moment in Chelmsford in Essex, and as a change of voice on Computer Talk, here he is to talk to you.
Hello, this is John, Golf 6 Juliet Pepper Golf. Home number 0277-841-265, but please don't all call me. Juliet asked me to tell you about the configure command for the BBC Master, which won't be of interest to anybody who hasn't got a BBC Master. The purpose of the command is to define the configuration settings held in the CMOS RAM and which are made current on initial power on and after a hard break. So, most of them, if not all of them, don't work as soon as you type the command, but only after the next break. They're for setting up things like how fast the keys repeat and how loud the bleeps are and that sort of thing. It's star configure, CONFIGURE, followed by one or two parameters. It can usually be abbreviated to star CO dot, but if you've got anything else that begins with star CO, then it'll have to be longer. For anyone that's interested, they're listed on pages C52 to C55 in the reference manual part 1, but I'll read what they are anyway. The second parameter isn't always there, it depends what the first one is. So, first thing it could be is star configure baud, B-A-U-D, followed by a number 0 to 8, which sets the RS-423 transmit and receive rate, which is for if you've got anything connected to the serial port. Then if the number is 0 or 7, it sets a baud rate of 9600. Otherwise, 1 is 75, 2 is 150, 3 is 300, 4 is 1200, 5 is 2400, 6 is 4800, and 8 is 12,000. I think that's a misprint. I think it should be 19,200. If you want to change the baud rates immediately, but only for until you turn the machine off, not permanently, then star FX 7, comma, and a number 0 to 8 will do it for the receive baud rate, and star FX 8, comma, and the number 0 to 8 will do it for transmit. Julia's written a little program that sets these up the way she likes them, so here's an example of a line containing that first one.
Line 0, go, baud SI.
That's line 10, star configure, baud 7. The next example, I'll play the line first.
Line 0, go, baud.
Line 20, star configure, no boot. Star configure, boot reverses the actions of break and shift break, so that if you say star configure, boot from then on, after the first break, break does what shift break normally does, and vice versa. Star configure, no boot leaves them, returns them to the normal way around.
30, go, SH.
That's line 30, star configure, SH caps, SHCAPS. Star configure caps makes the keyboard come up with capitals locked on. Star configure no caps makes it come up with the capitals lock off. And star configure SH caps makes it come up such that alphabetic keys produce uppercase characters or lowercase characters when you hold the shift key, in other words, the reverse of a normal typewriter. Line 40, star configure data 4. This specifies the data format for the serial interface. So it's star configure data and then a number 0 to 7. 0 to 3 is a word length of 7 bits. 4 to 7 is a word length of 8 bits. 0 is even parity with 2 stop bits. 1 is odd parity with 2 stop bits. 2 is even parity with 1 stop bit. 3 is odd parity with 1 stop bit. 4 is no parity with 2 stop bits. 5 is no parity with 1 stop bit. 6 is even parity with 1 stop bit. And 7 is odd parity with 1 stop bit. The machine you're talking to at the other end might expect an 8-bit data word or a 7-bit data word, and with parity or without parity, and if it was with parity, whether it was even or odd, and might expect 1 stop bit or 2 stop bits.
5-0-0-0-3-2.
This is for the delay on the keyboard before a key repeats. Star configure delay 32, Julia has it set to. The number after delay is a number 0 to 255, and that's the number in centiseconds, a hundredths of a second. Sorry, star configure delay 100 would make the keys wait a second before they start repeating. If you want to try them out immediately, then there are star FX calls. Star FX 11, comma, and the number will change the repeat delay immediately. And I would recommend you try that first, because you can always get back to what it was by pressing break, whereas if you do it with star configure delay, then it changes it permanently and you'd have to switch the machine off and on and reset everything if you set that too short.
60, go ladder.
960, star configure, nodir, no directory, N-O-D-I-R, but it shouldn't be written out as directory. Star configure DIR causes ADFS, the Advanced Disk Filing System, to initialize with a directory selected. Nodir makes it initialize without a directory selected. I don't think it matters which you have if you aren't using ADFS.
750, go Intube.
Star configure Intube. There are a set of three here that determine the use of the tube. Star configure Xtube causes an external coprocessor to be used in preference to an internal coprocessor if fitted. Star configure Intube, you can guess that one. And star configure Notube causes both internal and external coprocessors to be ignored. You might have an internal extra processor, an external extra processor, or I think as the machine is supplied, no external coprocessor. Star configure F-drive, that's F-D-R-I-V-E, followed by a number 0 to 7. The main thing it determines is the time allocated to the disk drive for shifts between tracks. Older drives require longer time than newer drives, but if you've got a one that can go faster, then it speeds up disk access considerably. 0 and 4 do the same, as do 1 or 5, 2 or 6, 3 or 7. 0 or 4 or 2 or 6 apply pre-compensation, which is only relevant for ADFS. 1, 3, 5 and 7 do not. 0, 4, 1 and 5 allow 6 milliseconds between tracks for the disk drive. Here most disk drives require a 6 milliseconds step time. 2, 6, 3 or and 7 apply, if you've got a WD1770 disk controller, they apply 30 milliseconds, which you might need for an older drive. If you've got a WD1772 disk controller, they apply 3 milliseconds. So you'd have to look inside the computer and see which you've got.
90, go file 9.
Star configure file and a number. The number is 0 to 15 and is the ROM identity, which it defines the default filing system by means of its ROM socket number. I think 9 is the DFS. So if you want the machine to come up running DFS when you turn it on, it would be 9. You might prefer to make it come up with ADFS.
100, go floppy.
Line 100, star configure floppy, F-L-O-P-P-Y. If the system has both floppy disks and a Winchester disk connected, star configure floppy causes ADFS to initialize with drive 4 selected. In other words, it's which disk is the default in ADFS when you turn the machine on. If you haven't got a hard disk and a floppy disk selected, I suspect it doesn't matter. Star configure hard would do the same thing, but it would select the hard disk as the default disk if you had one connected. Star configure ignore. This tells it what character is not sent to the printer. For example, character 10 is line feed, move the paper up one, and character 13 is carriage return, move the print head back to the left. Some printers automatically do a line feed when they receive a carriage return. Some printers automatically do a carriage return when they receive a line feed. And if you have such a printer, and you send all characters to the printer, then I think that when the Beeb is doing a printing, it does a carriage return line feed anyway. So when the printer sees one of them, it does another, and you would get double-spaced output on the printer, which uses twice as much paper. Some printers you can switch whether that is so or not with switches inside the printer. Star configure ignore, followed by a number, determines which character is not sent to the printer, but would still be sent to the screen. Star configure ignore without any number after it means that everything is sent to the printer. It's not quite the same as star FX6, which does the same thing. And you can experiment with that to try it out, because you can't have StarFX6 without a comma number. StarFX6 by itself assumes it's the same as StarFX6,0, which means that the null character is the one that's not sent to the printer. But StarIgnore without a number after it means that everything, including 0, is sent to the printer. Line 120, StarConfigure lang, L-A-N-G, 12. It's short for language, but it's just lang. It's not to be written in full. Followed by a ROM identity, which is in the range 0 to 15, defines the default language by means of its ROM socket number. I think 12 is basic. In other words, what language does the machine come up in? Line 130, StarConfigure mode 7. That determines what screen mode the machine comes up in when you turn it on. StarConfigure no tube. I think I told you about that one earlier. Yes, I did. There's one Julia hasn't got here, but StarConfigure loud sets full volume for the bell sound. StarConfigure quiet sets half volume for the bell sound. StarConfigure print 1. This determines which printer is the default one when you turn the machine on. Again, there is a StarFX command which duplicates it. It's StarFX5, comma, and it can be a number 0 to 4. 0 selects printer sync, which means if you send anything to the printer, it doesn't go anywhere, which is useful if you've got programs that write things to a printer and expect the printer to respond, but you haven't got a printer or you haven't got it connected, because otherwise such programs write things to the printer and then stop. 1 selects the parallel printer driver, which is the default. 2 selects the RS-423 output. 3 selects a user printer driver, in other words one you've written yourself, which I didn't think you'd be bothered with. And 4 selects a network printer driver, which is presumably for using a printer connected to a network, maybe shared by lots of computers, which I think won't apply again. It's handled through Econet. StarConfigure scroll or no scroll are to do with how it behaves on the screen. StarConfigure no scroll enables the scroll protect option, i.e. prevents hard screen scrolling if a character is placed in the last character position of the bottom screen line. And StarConfigure scroll disables the scroll protect option. Line 160, StarConfigure repeat 5. This sets the keyboard auto repeat rate. Earlier we had delay, which sets how long it waits after you've pressed a key before that key starts repeating. This determines how fast it repeats, and the number is number of hundredths of a second and can be 0 to 255. I think 0 probably doesn't repeat, or the others. Obviously the bigger the number, the slower the repeat. If you want to try it out, StarFX 12, comma, number will do it immediately. And again, I'd recommend you try that, although it's not quite as important as the delay. I've told you about that one. StarConfigure TV, followed by one or two numbers separated by commas. I think it does the same as the StarTV command. Alters the vertical screen alignment and set or reset the interlace option. The first parameter is interpreted as a signal byte, i.e. 1 means a movement of one line up and 255 means a movement of one line down. So I'd guess it's up to 127 up, or 128 would mean 128 lines down. So you'd probably only use numbers in the range 250, which is 6 lines down, I think, up to about 6 or 7. It's for if you're using it with a maladjusted monitor or a TV set and some of the display has disappeared off the top or the bottom. Oh, if the first number is 0, no adjustment is made, which is what should be for a properly set up system. If the second parameter is 0, the screen interlace option is switched on. If it is 1, the screen interlace is switched off. If the second parameter is omitted, it assumes 0, i.e. this interlace on.
I don't know if you know about television displays, but it has approximately 600 lines to make up the display, which are drawn as two lots of 300. If the interlace is on, one set is slightly offset from the other, so that lines from one field, I can never remember whether it's a frame or a field, go in between the others to give a better picture. But in some cases that might cause the system to appear to flicker more. If the interlace is off, the second 300 are drawn over the first 300 so that they're in the same place. The other two lines in Julia's program. Star U dot 14 and star high R are to do with the RAM board, the ROM board for the master, and not the configure command. Sorry, there's one more I'd missed. Star configure tube. I've mentioned intube, xtube, and no tube. Just star configure tube means that when you turn the machine on, it checks for the presence of an internal or external coprocessor, and if fitted, it then takes the action specified by the other ones if you've already given them. The battery pack that retains all these settings, in my computer, it's three AA-sized cells soldered together, they're Duracells in mine, in a shrink-wrapped piece of plastic, with a link going to the main printed circuit board, and is to the left of the keyboard, tucked into a suitable space. The battery holder that appears to be attached to the speaker is not used. That was for the original lithium cell, with which they had some trouble, so they redesigned the system, but they left the battery holder in there, but it's not connected to anything. When it becomes time to change the battery, under normal operating conditions, the life of the cell can be expected to be well in excess of 1 year. Annual replacement is recommended to ensure absolute reliability. And mine hasn't given any sign of needing replacement after, I think, I've had it over 2 years. If you decide to change it because it's time anyway, or if you find it's beginning to forget its settings, then it's very simple, turn the computer off and replace the battery. If you do it very quickly, and it hasn't started to forget things anyway, it may not forget the settings. The part that's maintained by the battery draws such a little current that there might be sufficient charge in the leads and so on, that it retains it while you change it. But if the system is upset for any reason, either when you're changing the battery or anything else has upset it, then you can recover by turning the machine on with the R key pressed and keeping it depressed until the message CMOS RAM reset, press brake to continue appears on the screen. When you do that, you have to press brake, configure everything again, or load a file that has the configuration settings in it.
Well, thanks John for that very good explanation on the configurations in the BBC Master. Of course, the Beeb and Electron have permanent configurations, so you don't need to worry about those. However, one or two little points I'd like to add here. I have been told that you can change the battery while the machine is switched on, which then saves you the necessity of having to reconfigure again. But of course, if you do have to reconfigure again, it is useful to have a program and have it ready to boot up. It seems to do it, that is when I tried it on my machine, it seems to do it from default, so that is okay. Some time ago, I was finding that my repeat facility had stopped. So I was experimenting with the repeat and delay. Unfortunately, I experimented with the delay on the star configure and made it go too fast. So any press of a key would come out as two presses. So the only thing you could do was boot anything, which necessitated me having to start all over again. So it is useful to have an idea of the configurations in the BBC Master there. Another thing I'd like to add is that, of course, at the end of my particular program, I had U-stop 14, I think that's right, which means unplug ROM 14. I myself used WordWise Plus, and it necessitates me unplugging view, which has the more or less the same command to start it up. Also, those with a ROM board will recognize da, high, R, which means ROMs in the high sockets of the board, and of course you can only access four of these ROMs at any one time. You have low, high, and low R, or low ROM, or high ROM. It's fairly complicated in some way, but it is very useful to have a little board to take more ROM than you would normally have in the computer. You can get these boards from, say, Morley, which mine comes from. It's a fairly local company, actually. Fairly reasonable price. You can fit up to 12 ROMs on the board and access 4 at any one time. And you can still also utilize the sideways RAM facility. Also, on this master board, as it is called, there are a couple of small programs. One is for copying, and I can't remember what the other one is for, but it is certainly a very useful thing to have, especially if you have an EEPROMer, as we have, because you never know what programs are going to come along, which you can put into an EEPROM, and eventually onto your master board, and which may well prove very useful to your working of a computer, depending what you want to use it for. Another little thing which some of you may not have tried, those of you who have a master will know that there is a jack socket at the back of the machine in which you can plug a lead from there into your amplifier and play music or sounds, etc., onto your cassettes or into your speakers, and it certainly does sound much better than the internal speaker on the computer. You can do this with a BBC Model B, as we did before. A friend of ours fitted a socket at the back of the machine via the speaker, I think, if I remember rightly, and that worked very well while we had the BBC Model B. A switch was also added, facilitating the user to turn the internal speaker of a computer off. Well, we are coming to the end of this tape. Hope that you have all enjoyed some of the articles which have been put on for you. We have had a bit of a dearth of articles this time, so if any of you would like to send any tips or articles, ideas for articles, etc., please contact us and we will be pleased to hear from you. Any articles, etc., to be submitted to us by about the middle of March, ready for the April 1990 edition of Computer Talk. Our address is Julia and Frank Cosgrove, of number 8, Wandsworth Road, Heaton, H-E-A-T-O-N, Newcastle upon Tyne, NE65AD, Anno Domini. Please send in tape or in braille, or if you wish to phone us, our telephone number is 091-2656-345, and we look forward to hearing from you. And before we end, we must thank Ray Hosan at St. Dunstan's for doing all of last year's tapes and hopefully doing this year's as well. Certainly a very good service there. So now, from me and Frank, once again, a very happy new year to all in 1990, and look forward to hearing from some of you during the year. Bye for now, and happy computing.